Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधवा जया 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 कुंज विहारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गिरिवर धारी। जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजना। 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 यमुना तीर मन चारी। यमुना तीर मन चारी। यमुना तीर मन चारी। जय राधा माधवा जया कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधवा जया कुंज विहारी। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radha Gopal. గోకుల నంద రాధ గోకుల నంద రాధే జయ రాధ గోకుల నంద రాధ గోకుల నంద రాధే జయ రాధ గోకుల నంద రాధ గోకుల నంద రాధే జయ సీతారాం లక్ష్మణ హనుమాన్ 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 జయ గౌరనితాయ 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 జయ ప్రభుపాదా 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 ప్రభుపా ప్రభుపా జయ జయ ప్రభుపా
జయం శుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్టోం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనింది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమాం శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదిం స్వపదాందిగం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాదం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदं सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो नबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्दा राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तुते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितं भगवतं नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितं पुराण मुनिनं मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धनामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीम् नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपाम् प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमाम् सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धाकोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महद् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसजानूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजल गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुलाम् अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकर दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तककेशवाम् पाराशर्यवजःसरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानककेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः प्रेवीयमानम् मुदा भूयात् भारतपङ्कजकलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयदे गिरिम् यल्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैर्क्रमोपनिषदेर् गायन्दियम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्दियम् योगिनो यस्यान्दम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द So, last Sunday we have just more or less finished the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which refers to the what is called the Prakriti Purusha Vivega Yogam, or the it's also called as the Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam. That means the Prakriti and Purusha, Kshetram and Kshetrajna, and Jnanam and Jnayam. Three things were discussed in that chapter, in the 13th chapter. So, at the end of that 13th chapter, Krishna says that while referring to the before concluding that chapter, Krishna says, one who understands this principle explained in this chapter, when he realizes that, he is released from the bondage. He is released from this material existence. So, this 13th chapter, few things Krishna has spoken. First thing is that Krishna says that in order to understand, in order to free ourselves from the bodily concept of life, Krishna has segregated what is matter and what is spirit. That's what he has done basically in this chapter. In different ways, in the Veshti form, that means in our miniature conditions or in our present situation in the as a living entity, Krishna has spoken about Kshetram and Kshetrajnan, isn't it? The field and the knower of the field. And then in the in a Samashti level, in the gross level, as far as the creation is concerned, Krishna spoke what is known as the Prakriti and Purusha. Purusha is the knower at that time, and Prakriti is the Kshetram at that time. So Prakriti and Purusha in the gross sense and in the miniature form, as far as the living entity is concerned, it is again what is known as the Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. And then Jnanam, Yayam, Jnanagamyam. Krishna says Jnanam and Yayam, no, that is to be known, and Jnanam, the knowledge, and the object of the knowledge, also Krishna spoke, Jnanam and Yayam. And at the very end of this chapter, Krishna spoke some important comparisons between us and the, in order to make us understand this principle, Krishna told that how important it is to understand that the soul within the body, it's all pervasiveness. In other words, it permeates in the whole creation. That's what Krishna explains there. And he gave the example just like the sky. The sky permeates everywhere. And similarly, Krishna says the sky is present everywhere. The soul is also present in every situation. It's present in every living entity. The soul is present. And the super soul is the same one super soul who is present in every living entity. There is the individual soul, which is the jiva, and the super soul, which is the paramatma, who is present in every living entity. And Krishna also compared in another verse, Yal prakashayatikam krishnam logamimam ravi. The sun, one sun in the whole universe is permeating everywhere and gives the light, and by one's own energy, illuminates the whole creation, whole universe. Similarly, Krishna says the soul illuminates the whole, all living entities in this creation. The very one soul illuminates the whole, all creation, all living entities in the whole creation. So, looking at these two verses in the Bhagavad Gita, you can see that Krishna is pointing out one important point to us. What we are. That's what Krishna is saying. What is our real identity? We are part and parcel of Krishna. And that we are, in other words, being part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is present in every living entity. And Krishna is pointing out to us that if you realize this, that your relationship with me, you will realize that what actually you are, what your real identity is. As long as we are not aware of our own identity, all other conditioned thinking comes into effect. In other words, we start thinking about somebody has said something about me, somebody else has said something else, and we get affected by all that. But Krishna is telling us, you are none of that. Actually, Krishna is telling us, you are this. That means the all-pervading super soul's part and parcel we are. So that is the close connection what we have with Krishna. And we ignore that aspect and we get affected by all the activities of this world. When someone criticizes or someone glorifies, in either situation Krishna says that is the opinion of the material world. As far as Krishna is concerned, the living entity is a part and parcel of Him. And we are part and parcel, and Krishna is the all-pervading super soul in the whole creation. So our position is very high, very, very glorious position indeed, as far as Krishna is concerned. But because we forget that identity with Krishna, our relationship with Krishna, we accept all the activities of this world so seriously that we immediately react to that in ignorance, isn't it? So that is what the important point what Krishna was pointing out in those two verses, in the last two verses. And Krishna says there also, Kshetra Kshetrajnayor Evam Andaram Jnana Chakshusha. With Jnana Chakshusha, with the eye of knowledge, that means knowledge is important. Without knowledge you can't understand Krishna consciousness. Because this knowledge is so important, Krishna says, with Jnana Chakshusha, when one understands this Kshetra Kshetrajnayor Jnanam, or Evam Andaram, or the difference between Kshetram and Kshetrajnan, or the difference between the field and the knower of the field, Krishna says he is qualified to go back to be liberated. That is where we stopped last Sunday. So with that, the 13th chapter finishes. As far as Krishna is concerned, all what he has to say, he has already spoken in this 13th chapter. As far as the important aspects, the knowledge is concerned, he has already given that in the 13th chapter. But from now on, in the remaining few chapters, Krishna will point out to us why we are not able to realize this. This knowledge, what he has spoken in the 13th chapter, why you are unable to realize it. So theoretically we understand what Krishna is saying, but when it comes to practicing it, or when it comes to bringing into our life, we find that very difficult because of various things, particularly the three modes of material nature. So this 14th chapter begins with the three modes of material nature. The modes of material nature is so powerful. Krishna says, this is the one, you will see this in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, about the modes of nature mentioned, in so many different places. Modes of nature are an important aspect of the Vedic philosophy, the three modes of material nature. So, in the Bhagavatam, if you take Srimad Bhagavatam and look, you will find there, in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, while discussing about the divinity or the Bhakti Yogam, as it's in the second or third chapter in the first canto, Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami says there, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloge Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtigi. So when one takes into the process of studying Srimad Bhagavatam, all the abhadram will go, all the inauspicious things in a person will go away, and the result of that will be Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. When one continuously serves Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis, Bhagavati Uttama Shloge Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtigi, that pure devotion to Krishna will come to oneself, will develop in a person. And how does that happen? Tadha Rajastamo Bhavam Kamalo Bhadayaschaye Chedametarana Vidham Stidam Satve Prasidadi. What will happen is, Tadha Rajastamo Bhavam Kamalo Bhadayaschaye. Rajogunam and Tamogunam, which are very deeply present in every one of us. And that Rajogunam and Tamogunam, which develops in the form of Kamam and Lobham, which is lust and greed, or passion and ignorance, which is Rajogunam and Tamogunam, which develops into lust and greed, Kamam and Lobham. Yadharatajastamobhavam kamalobhadayaschaye. That will go away. Krishna says, Chedameder anavidham. The Chedasa means the mind. The mind will be freed from this effect of this lust and greed. And then what will happen? Stidam sattve prasidadi. Sattugunam will manifest in a person. So immediately Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami says in the Bhagavatam, that in order to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, one should come to mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is what actually qualifies a person to survive in spiritual life. Only then he will be steady in spiritual life. As long as one has taken to the mode of passion and ignorance, there is tendency to fall all the time from spiritual life. That is why it happens. But when one is strongly situated in the mode of goodness, he will survive in spiritual life. So that's why he's saying there, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloge Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiyi Yadha Rajastamo Bhavam Kamalo Bhadayaschaye Chedamede Ranavidham Stidam Satve Prasidadi. When one is fully situated in Satugunam, when one is fully situated in Satugunam, that will happen when one associates with Srimad Bhagavatam closely. That is what Sukadeva Goswami is saying. Stidam satve prasidadim. Then, Pativadharino bhuma తస్మాత్ మిత్రై భవేన్ తమసస్సు రజస్ తస్మాల్ సత్వం యల్ బ్రహ్మ దర్శనం. ఇన్ ది అగైన్ ఆఫ్టర్వర్డ్స్ కృష్ణ అండ్ సుఖదేవ్ గోస్వామి సేస్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ రజోగుణం తమోగుణం అండ్ సత్వగుణం ఇస్ లైక్ దిస్. పార్థివర్ధారిణో భూమ తస్మాత్ అగ్నిత్రయీ భవేన్. దట్ పార్థివ్ అండ్ పార్థివ్ మీన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఎర్త్. ఫ్రమ్ ది ఎర్త్ వుడ్ హ్యాస్ కమ్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది వుడ్ ద స్మోక్ హ్యాస్ కమ్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద స్మోక్ ద ఫైర్ హ్యాస్ కమ్. పార్థివద్ధారిణో భూమ తస్మాత్ అగ్నిత్రయీ భవేన్. అగ్ని ఫైర్ విల్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ దట్ వుడ్ అండ్ ద వుడ్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఎర్త్. ఫస్ట్ ద వుడ్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఎర్త్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది వుడ్ బికమ్స్ టర్న్స్ ఇన్ టు స్మోక్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద స్మోక్ కమ్స్ ద ఫైర్. సో సిమిలర్లీ, వెరీ సిమిలర్ టు దాట్, ద వే వీ మూవ్ త్రూ ది త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్. ఒరిజినలీ వీ హ్యావ్ డెవలప్డ్ దిస్ తమోగుణం వెరీ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్లీ. తమోగుణం వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్లీ, విచ్ ఈస్ ద స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ ద వుడ్, ద కండిషన్ ఆఫ్ ద వుడ్. అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ when the little bit of association with Krishna, associate with Srimad Bhagavatam happens, or the devotees happens, slowly that wood turns into smoke. Isn't it? The wood turns into smoke. And as much as one becomes serious and enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness, immediately the smoke turns into fire. So you can see the progressive way it happens. Parthivaddharino bhuma tasmad agnitrayo bhavel రజసస్తు తమసస్తు రజస్తస్మాల్ దెన్ సత్వం ఎల్ బ్రహ్మ దర్శనం. వెన్ వన్ కమ్స్ టు సత్వగుణం, వెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ ది విచ్ ఈస్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద త్రీ గుణస్, బిగినింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ వెన్ హీ స్టార్టెడ్ విత్, వెన్ హీ హాజ్ స్టార్టెడ్ విత్ తమోగుణం, ఇట్ కేమ్ ఇన్ టు రజోగుణం, అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ రజోగుణం హీ హాజ్ కమ్ టు వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ సత్వగుణం. సో తమసస్తు రజస్తస్మాల్ దెన్ వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్? సత్వం ఎల్ బ్రహ్మ దర్శనం. ఫ్రమ్ సత్వగుణం వన్ విల్ బికమ్ qualified to understand our spiritual identity. Brahma Darshanam means that our self-realization, state of realization. So it is a process which takes a long time. Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out these things in the very beginning itself, before we go into Srimad Bhagavatam in detail. These things are pointed out, how that progressive way it happens from tamas to rajogunam, tamogunam to rajogunam, and rajogunam to sattogunam. And when one comes to sattogunam, Srimad Bhagavatam will be much more understood and will be probably have the immediate effect on a person as well. So therefore, in the study of this 14th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, we have to remember these few things. In the 13th chapter, Krishna made it very simple for us by presenting this philosophy. He gave the name to this material body as Kshetram. The Kshetram was the name given to this material body. And he also said that the one who knows this body, he is Kshetrajnan, isn't it? The knower of the body. He gave the name as the knower of the body. Then we also seen that, talked about the 24 elements, how this material body has developed from the 24 material elements. If you remember, earth, water, air, ether and fire, the five material elements, five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, mind, intelligence and false ego and chittam, and also the living entity jiva, and all these things contributing to that, eventually we turns into the five tanmatras also, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam and gandham, all together combinedly created this material body. Krishna said that all these things were spoken there. And he also said, one who knows Kshetrajnan, who has nothing to do with these things, but in whose presence all these things happen, Krishna says he has understood it properly. Then, and that he can cross over this material existence, or by knowledge, by the science of knowledge, by the eyes of knowledge. He calls this as Jnana Chakshusha. Jnana Chakshusha, he says. So Kshetram means Kshada Trayade Idi Kshetra. Kshetram means one who can break over, come over these situations. Kshiyade Idi Kshetra. Kshetram also means that one, it continuously dwindles. It's constantly getting deteriorated. All this means in the Kshetram. So the next chapter, what Krishna has spoken is Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. Gunatraya means the three gunas, namely the goodness, passion and ignorance. Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, the three gunas. That's what Krishna has spoken. Why did he say about these things? Because the reason why why one cannot acquire spiritual knowledge is because of the impurities in the chittam, impurities in the consciousness. when one has impure consciousness, one cannot acquire knowledge. So this knowledge, what we theoretically read from the books, does not affect us because of the impurities inside. So first thing is, we have to get rid of the impurities from inside. So in order to remove that impurities, how did these impurities develop in us? Because Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, the three modes of nature, they have expanded inside. They are in the mind, they are in the intelligence, they are in the senses, and they are in the body as well. And they have expanded that in all these different elements in the body. They have these three modes of nature, or the three gunas. They have entered into this body and they have expanded themselves in the body in all these different places, in the mind, in intelligence, in the senses, as well as the gross body. So Krishna says here that because that is the impurity of the chittam. That is the impurity of the chittam. So as long as the chittam is impure, manasa, buddhi, mind, intelligence, ahankaram, false ego and chittam, these are the four contributing factors in the subtle body. So we have talked about this in detail before, what they are and their activities also. So in chittam, when it is chittam is impure, chittam is the flow of the vasanas from the previous life that has come along with us. The vasanas that has come along with us. These things are very important because when you understand the effect of our previous lives on us, then only you can make a proper judgment on the results of our activities in this world. So often people think that we are what we are today. No, we are not what we are today. We are actually a product of so many lifetimes. This life has started long, long ago, when the spirit soul has accepted the so many different material bodies, or to the 8.4 million different species of life, it has been acquiring different vasanas. And in the Vedic literature, they focus on the fundamental issues. They don't talk about this particular lifetime, what is this particular problem on the particular day. That's not the important issue, as from the Vedic point of view. Vedic point of view is when a soul got into this material entanglement, from there it has started its journey. It didn't start its journey in this lifetime here, in this body. It has started long ago. And from then on, it has been acquiring different propensities due to its own karma. So, Vedas are telling us that the karma is the first factor which one has to sort out. This karma is the cause of all the problems also, when it is not properly understood. So karmam creates more and more material bodies, and without knowing the effect of karmam in us, we get involved in all kinds of activities. With the result of that, we create more karma vasanas or more propensities, with the result more material bodies as well. So this flow of vasanas or the flow of these propensities is what is known as chittam. Chittam is that thing which is the continuous flow of these vasanas, which is compelling us to act in one way or the other. So these vasanas, they are our biggest obstacle or biggest block in our understanding this, realizing this knowledge. That so in order to remove those vasanas, we have to know the process. We have to know the process, and we have to properly understand also the siddhantam or the theory behind it, how the vasanas have followed us. From the very beginning, if you look in the Vedic literature, you will always find in Srimad Bhagavatam also, Krishna will talk about this later, that jnanam and karmam, knowledge and action, are two factors which affects everyone, isn't it? Knowledge and action. According to one's knowledge, one acts in this world. According to one's knowledge, one acts in this world. So, people without proper knowledge, when they act, all those activities will develop into more problems. Karmam is a jadam, karmam is a dead thing. And karmam, the doing a particular action is not the problem. The vasana that creates in a person is the bigger problem, because that creates another material body for himself. Another material body for himself. So, how to free oneself from this karmic entanglement or from this entanglement with karmam? That is our present problem. That's our present problem. So first we have to know what is the result of engaging in karmam, how karmam binds us, and this bondage through karmam, how one can free oneself. In the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna will say like this, that Krishna says there, that first thing is to understand that karma is the cause of a lot of, root of all the problems. From karma it has started. And that karma, in order to control that karma, because the propensity for karma is strong in everybody, isn't it? Everyone wants to do something or the other. And whereas a realized soul, he knows he has nothing to do with this world, material world. He does not engage in activities which are going to cause difficulties. Or when he engages in activities, he is not the doer, not the enjoyer of the results either. In such a way he would act. That is the state of a liberated personality, or the soul who he is fully transcendental to this world. Just like in ordinary life, for example, if you kill even a small ant, even if you kill a small ant, you have to have the reaction for that, isn't it? Because you have destroyed the life of another living entity. Krishna was responsible for a massive war in this world, where over 64 million or 640 million people died. But Krishna didn't have to go to hell for that, did he? Why? Why is that? It is like that. We, for killing a small ant, we have to pay for it. But Krishna doesn't have to. Krishna is not affected by that. Even 640 million or 6.4 million, it doesn't matter. Any amount of people got killed, it does not matter. It doesn't affect Krishna. Krishna didn't have to go to hell for that. So, it's not that one rule for us and one rule for Krishna. It's not like that. The rule is that Krishna's way Krishna has acted in that is what is more important. That activity is in full knowledge without being affected by the results of the activities, not expecting the results or the not being affected by the results, or kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Neither the doer does not exist in Krishna's consciousness, Krishna's activities. Therefore, Krishna is released from all sinful activities. Nothing affects Krishna. More often, people think Krishna is somebody sits there and dictates rules to us, for us to follow, and nothing, yes, doesn't have to follow anything. It's not like that. Krishna has never created any rules like that. Krishna always said in the Bhagavatam also, whatever rules I have brought to other living entities, I follow that first before everybody. That's how Krishna says about that. To Sri Narada Maharshi, he said this, didn't he? When we talked about this, Krishna's householder life, when Sri Narada Maharshi went to see him, Krishna says to Narada Muni, that first, I am the propagator of dharmam. Dharmam was established by me. And I am not a person who simply gives out the rules to others, but I follow it myself first and show it to others how it should be followed. So similarly, here also, we have to know this, that Krishna's transcendental position, that he was able to go beyond the three modes of, because he is above the three modes of material nature, his activities become transcendental. He is above the three modes of material nature. And because of that, his activities become transcendental. And therefore, there is no reactions for his karma. Therefore, there is no reaction for Krishna's activities, Krishna's karma. On the other hand, when we get entangled in a small, sinful thing, immediately the reaction follows us. Because that comes to us in the form of vasanas, and we bind ourselves with our many, many more lifetimes follows from that. There's a difference between living entity and Krishna. And Krishna says that this sattvam, rajas and tamas, the three modes of material nature, is the first bondage for a living entity. So, in this chapter, in the 14th chapter, Krishna is going to discuss about the three modes of material nature a little bit in detail. Much more in detail, it will come in the Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna talks to Uddhava later on. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna covers that in this 14th chapter, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, the three modes of material nature. So, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam, Yajnatva Muneya Sarve Param Siddhimito Gataha. Then Krishna says, Parambhuya Pravakshyami. I'll repeat it once again, Krishna says. Parambhuya Pravakshyami, Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam. The knowledge of all the knowledge, Krishna says like that. Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam. That knowledge which is more important of all the knowledge, Krishna says. Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam. Yel Jnatva Munayasarve Param Siddhimido Gadaha. By knowing which, all the munis or thoughtful persons, they will attain perfection. That's what Krishna says. They will attain perfection, which I will say, repeat it once again. He is Parambhuya Pravakshyami. I'm going to say that again. In other words, already these things were discussed before, but Krishna is going to repeat it once again in order that to drive this further deeply into Arjuna's mind. That's what Krishna is doing here. Parambhuya Pravakshyami Jnananam Jnanamuttamam Yajnatvamuniya Sarve Param Siddhi Ito Gadaham. That knowledge I will explain to you once again, Krishna says. That normally people have this false understanding that we are, most of us go by our own nature, isn't it? We go act according to our own nature. Sattvam, rajas and tamas, tamogunam, the three modes of material nature influence us so strongly. And the process of bhakti or Krishna consciousness is how to rise above the lower modes and come to the mode of goodness. When one comes to the mode of goodness, automatically devotion will develop in that person. Automatically devotion will develop into that person's heart. So, bhakti, jnanam and vairagyam, these three things which are the essence of spiritual life, those things are developed when one gets out of these lower modes of nature, particularly the rajogunam and tamogunam. When comes to the mode of sattvagunam, which is the mode of goodness, that mode has got one advantage where one can understand things clearer. One can see things a little bit more clearer in the mode of goodness. That is why mode of goodness is necessary for advancing on the spiritual path. In the Bhagavatam, we have the example given there that gopis in the 10th canto have been given a very high position in the Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? They are Krishna's greatest devotees. Now, what is interesting about that is that gopis had no knowledge. They didn't study any shastram. As far as this world is concerned, we will not talk about their previous lifetimes. What they were in the past, that we know. They were great personalities. But in this lifetime, after they have taken this body in this world, they didn't study any shastra. Nor did they perform any great austerities and penances like the yogis did. They didn't do that, did they? They were just ordinary women who lived in Vrindavanam. They sold milk and butter and things like that, and they maintained their life in that way. The only one factor what was in favor of them was that they have somehow loved Krishna wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly they loved Krishna. The result was that Bhagavatam says, Tena adida stutiganaha nopasida mahatamaha avrada adaptatavasa salsanga anmamupahadaha. This is what their qualification was. Tena adida stutiganaha. They never studied any Vedas or Vedic literature, Upanishads or Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or anything. Nothing they knew, any of these things. Nopasida mahatamaha. They did not serve any great mahatmas. They did not engage in the service of any great souls. No vasida mahartamaha. Then avrada adattatavasaha. Avrada, they did not perform. You don't find in the Bhagavatam gopis executing any severe austerities or penances, do you? Except there is only one incident mentioned. 41 days they performed Kartiyayani vradam to please goddess Kartiyayani. They performed a fast for 41 days. So, avrada ataptadavasaha. They have not performed any severe austerities like the yogis or the sages in the forest. They didn't do any of that. Then Uddhava asked Krishna, if it is like that, what was the reason that they could make such a rapid progress in spiritual life, that they could come to such a elevated situation, Krishna consciousness? In answer to that, Krishna says there, salsangan maam upagadaha. Salsangam, or an association with the good association, what they received, that was the cause of their progress. Or in other words, what Krishna says there is, Uddhava asked, what association did they have? All the association, what they had was with Krishna. And that association elevated them. Because Krishna is above the three modes of material nature. You see, Krishna is above the three modes of material nature. So, if when one associates with someone who is gone beyond the modes of nature, he makes the progress in spiritual life. That is what is called association. When we talk about association with devotees, we misunderstand things. We think we associate with all the devotees in this world. I mean, in the sense that simply by associating with any devotee, one does not come to that stage. Association with the way gopis are associated with Krishna, because of Krishna's position as beyond, outside the three modes of material nature, and such a close association with Krishna brought them also out of the three modes of material nature. Brought them also out of the three modes of material nature. That is what proper association means. Otherwise, other kinds of association may not always have the right result. On the other hand, sometimes it can go in the wrong way also. So Krishna is pointing out this one point here, that if ever one get an opportunity to associate with Krishna directly, that is the best association. Of course, that's not possible in all conditioned souls' case. But one should look for that association with such devotees who have gone beyond the three modes of material nature. There are always great advanced devotees who have understood the modes of nature, and due to their intense sadhana and intense execution of spiritual life, they have more or less freed themselves from the three modes of material nature. Association with such great souls will naturally bring us out from the conditioned state. That's what makes progress for others. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. This is the important point. Tena adhida shrutagana nopasida mahatama avrada adapta dabasa salsanganma amupagadaha. That is how Uddhava, Krishna said, spoken about this to Uddhava. So, in whatever, and gopis, because of their this special relationship with Krishna, they were so elevated that at the end they were seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. In their realized state, you can study at the end of the first part of the 10th canto, you can see in what high position the gopis have reached, what a state of consciousness they have reached, simply by association, nothing else. Simply by association they got into that state. So that is the power of association, spiritual association, with such persona, Krishna, or with personalities who have gone away beyond the three modes of material nature. So that is one important point. So Krishna says here, the jnanam or the yajnatva munaya sarve param siddhi ito gadaha. So sometimes we have this understanding that sometimes when we execute certain activities, or whether I am pure enough to do that, or am I contaminated, or my consciousness is not right, these kind of thoughts will come. But if you look from the Bhagavad Gita point of view, Krishna has already spoken about that in the Karma Yogam chapter earlier. In the Karma Yogam chapter, he spoke about that. But later on, in the 9th chapter also, Krishna talks about that. What did Krishna say? Krishna says, Yal karoshi yadasnasi yajuhosi dadasi yal yattavasyasi gaundeya tal kurushama darpanam. When one engages in yal karoshi yadasnasi yajuhosi yadadasi yattavasyasi, Krishna says, everything what you do, everything what you offer, everything what you eat, whatever you do, offer it to me. So if we cannot associate with Krishna directly, just like the gopis did, the next step, what is available for us, is this. That is what Krishna is saying. Yal karoshi yadasnasi yajuhosi dadasi yal yattavasyasi kaundeya tal kurushama darpanam. Krishna says, if you start doing that is also associating with me. In due course, you will get the result of that. Because following Krishna means, associating with Krishna means, first thing is to follow Krishna's instructions. Isn't it? If you follow Krishna's instructions, that is associating with Krishna. And knowing very well the conditioned soul situation, Krishna has said this much before in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, he speaks about this. That this is a very important verse. In the light of Bhagavad Gita, if you look at it, you will see there that if we follow this verse strictly in our life, it will have an immediate effect on our life also. Generally, our tendency is to divide the life into material life and spiritual life, isn't it? We like to divide the life, material life and spiritual life. We think going to temple and chanting Hare Krishna or worshipping the deity, these are my spiritual life. All the other things what we do in this world is my life, it's material life, what we call it. So if we segregate our life into two, that is not good. That is not the right thing to do, because when we break our own life into two parts, material life and spiritual life, that difference is not going to help. On the other hand, why through this verse, Krishna is saying to us, everything what you do, make it an offering to me. You see? Everything what we do, make it an offering to me. Yal karoshi, yad asnasi, yad juhosi, yad dadasi, yad tapasyasi. Everything what you do, Krishna says, tal kurushama darpanam, do it for me. That is the way to progress on spiritual life. Otherwise, if we bring everything in relationship separately, spiritual life and material life, then that division will separate us also from Krishna for a very, very long period of time. And often we end up with this wrong understanding. That's why Krishna consciousness is not a 1 hour in the morning or 1 hour in the afternoon. It's a continuous process to change our consciousness all through the life, and to get closer to Krishna, identification as Krishna's servant, and become a servant of Krishna through all our senses, our mind, our intelligence, body, everything. So that is the way the action should be performed. That is what Krishna is saying there. So, in the earlier chapters, if you remember, in chapter 3, chapter 4 and chapter 5, Krishna discussed Karma Yoga, isn't it? How Karma Yoga was discussed in all these chapters, starting from even from the second chapter. Third chapter is Karma Yoga itself. And then the fourth and fifth also, Karma Yoga was discussed sometime. So, through all these different chapters, Krishna brought out the essence of Karma Yoga and given to us what is meant by karmam, how karma will bind us, and the effect of karma and jnanam on a person, the knowledge and the work, knowledge and work. So there you will notice, you have seen there also, that so long as one is continuously engaged in karma, his knowledge will diminish. When his knowledge increases, karma will diminish. This is that relationship with karma and jnanam. Jnanam and karma is such that some people, you can see, they just go and do things in a mad way, continuously doing things in a mad level. And that is that nature of karmi. Karmi's nature is like that, without any proper understanding acting in this world. A jnani, when he has come to the realization that karma is binding him in this world, karma is the cause of another material body, it's generating another material body, he becomes more cautious and he becomes very careful while executing his karma. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when these things are spoken, Krishna points out one important thing there between Krishna's instructions and the Mimamsaka's philosophy. Mimamsaka's means those who believe in karma margam, karma gandam, they call it. What is their philosophy is that karma should be performed at any cost. And karma is the whole goal of life. And the results of karma must come. In this way, they question Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam also. They do not agree with Krishna. But when Krishna starts answering those questions in the Bhagavatam, you will notice how Krishna has completely destroyed their arguments from the Karma Mimamsa, from the Karmakandam. How it is completely rejected by Krishna, because Krishna says, the karmam which is the cause of this body, the Karmakandis don't accept that even. They do not even accept that the karmam, very karmam is the cause of this body. In addition to that, their philosophy is that by performing karmam, the results must come. The results must come. Krishna says, the results need not come. That decision is not dependent on our karmam. Karmam need not bring the results. Karmam cannot bring the results. That is what Krishna is saying there. And in answer to that, Krishna gives various examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there you will observe one important point, that the karma and jnanam is always constantly looking at each other. And the one when he is advancing on the path of knowledge, for him karma must come to an end. And when one is totally in the realized state, he knows that he has no karmam to perform anymore. Karmam is finished for him. Whereas if you increase this karmam to such a degree, the knowledge will not build up inside. This is the opposing elements in there. Karmam and jnanam, they oppose each other in that way. So jnanam, karmam, so three chapters Krishna devoted in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning to talk about karmam. And after that, various chapters we have seen. And in the 12th chapter, Krishna spoke about bhakti, did he not? He spoke about bhakti. So if we have understood the importance of knowledge in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, and if we have understood the dangers of karma, that will give us a warning, sufficient warning, how important it is to free ourselves from karma, act for by acting in such a way which is conducive for freeing ourselves from this bondage. Secondly, when it comes to Bhakti Yogam in the 12th chapter, what did Krishna say? Krishna spoke about two types of worship there, isn't it? Sagunam and Nirgunam. That means the form, with form and formless worship. With form and formless worship. In that 12th chapter, if you look in the one of the verses, Krishna says there that the... Krishna says there that the... verse number 3, Krishna says that the in the verse before, Krishna says, Mayavesha Manoyemam Nityukta. In the verse 2, Krishna says, Shraddhaya Parayo Vedasteme Yukta Tamomata. Arjuna asked this question. Out of these two people, one who likes to worship Krishna in with form, and one who worship in impersonal level, who is dearer to you? Straight away Krishna said, I prefer that person who worships me with form, who likes worship me with form. Sagunam it is called, isn't it? That worship of the form is preferred. But immediately after that Krishna says, Etvakshara manirdesham avyaktam paryupasade sarvatragama jindinja kudastama jaladruvam saniyamendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnuvandi mameva sarvabhuta hiteerataha. Immediately he says there, avyaktam, one who does not follow this, but one who serves the impersonal manifestation, Brahmam, sarvatragamam, ajindyam, kudastam, achalam, these are the different designations of Brahman in there. And he, saniyamendriyagramam, Krishna says, te prapnu vandimameva sarvabhudahiderada, he is dearer to me, Krishna says in the very next verse. So, when we have discussed this verse, we have seen there that the te prapnu mandimameva sarvabhuta hideradaha, that because he is dearer to all the living entities, although he is worshipping Krishna on an impersonal level, because he is dearer to all the living entities due to his realizations, Krishna says, I accept him also. I will accept him also. That is why. And in the next verse, after that, Krishna says, klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta asakta chedasam avyakta hi gadir dukham dehavad bhiravapyade. For those who are embodied, who are in the bodily concept of life, for them this impersonal process of worship is very, very difficult. Krishna says there. So the impersonal process of worship is very difficult, Krishna has spoken like that. So there we have taken that sagunam and nurgunam, the two forms of worship, isn't it? The two forms of worship. Saguna means worship of the form, Nirguna means worship of the impersonal side of Krishna, impersonal form of Krishna. So there again Krishna has brought out this this difference between Sagunam and Nirgunam. But while speaking about that, Krishna says, although the devotees are dearer to me, the others also reach me at the end. Why? Because of this one reason, that sarvabhuta hite radaha, that although the process is difficult, because they are seeing me in the whole creation as a part and as everywhere they perceive the presence of Krishna due to their realization in that way, they also come back to me. So from there you can see that dividing everything in spiritual life is also not something which is helpful in advancing on the spiritual path. Sometimes you will notice this, that sagunam worship also, when we take to the process of deity worship, people come to the understanding that only worshipping, seeing the deity at the temple is Krishna consciousness. It doesn't go beyond than that. It will stay there. And all their other activities will have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. It will be on a completely different platform. And they have this impression that because I am personally connected with Krishna in the temple, I don't have to worry about any of the other things in this world, what I am doing. In this way, they develop a philosophy in a natural way in their own mind. But if this saguna worship, if we take that out and leave the other part, then naturally such misunderstanding can come into the mind. And that is also not a very proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is saying here that even those who have advanced in a spiritual life, after a while, still they will continue their worship of the Supreme Lord in the temple. They still go to the temple. Although they have started realizing Krishna's presence in every living entity. Because that is much more important rather than seeing Krishna in the deity. So see Krishna in other living entities is a superior thing. Because that is proper realization that the whole creation is nothing but all other living entities are part and parcels of Krishna. And that is important thing. So when one comes to that, still they will continue with the service to Krishna. They will still visit the temple. And the answer to that is, Anyadha Paditya Shangaya. Srinarada Maharshi says that in the Bhakti Sutra. Why do they do that? In order to educate the ordinary people, that they do not give up the process of deity worship, because everybody requires the deity worship to progress in the spiritual life. So in order they do not give it up, for their benefit, they still continue to do the same thing. Although they have realized Krishna's presence in other living entities. So, what has been spoken before, Krishna is going to talk about it a little bit more in detail. And spiritual topics, no matter how many times it is repeated, it's not a waste of time. Because only then it penetrates into the mind. That is the reason why Krishna is saying, I will talk about it once again. Parambhuya pravakshyami, Krishna says, jnananam jnanamuttamam. For this reason, that Krishna knows, although he has spoken all these things to Arjuna, it has not still had the necessary result in Arjuna's mind. Or in other words, Arjuna is asking still questions. The fact that he was asking questions is showing that Arjuna still needs more clarifications. So, although the topic is the same, it will be spoken from different angles and Krishna will continue to repeat the same thing, but from different angles it will be spoken. Now, in this chapter, under the three modes of material nature, it comes. In the Bhagavadam, sattvam rajastama iti prakrite gunaste. So, sattvam, rajasa and tamasa, three modes of material nature. Prakriti gunaste, it comes from the prakriti, from material modes of nature. From the material nature it comes. And these three modes of material nature, once it enters into us, where do they come from? Where does these three modes of come from? Three modes comes from Maya, isn't it? Three modes of nature comes from Maya. It is Maya's three ropes, as they call it, to tie us down. And that is why helplessly we go through this. Jagra, Swapnam and Sushupti is already there. Waken state, dream state, deep sleep is already there. Those three things. In addition to that, we have got these three modes of material nature also. So, these three modes of nature manifest in a person in three different states of existence. For example, Sattugunam manifests in Jagrat state. Sattugunam won't exist in the dream state and the deep sleep, does it? It cannot, can it? So, Sattugunam, when it manifests in the vacant state. Rajogunam manifests in the dream state and Tamogunam manifests completely in the deep sleep. In the deep sleep, Tamogunam completely manifests in a person. So, Sattvam Rajasan Tama, Sattvam Rajasthama Idi Prakriti Gunaste. Then, Stityadayo Hari Virinja Haredi Samyam. Bhagavadam says like that. Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, he has taken three different forms. What are they? Hari Virinja Haredi, Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva. Haredi Samya, Shreyamsi Tattagalu, Sattadana Om Murnamsyom. For the human being, if he wants to free oneself from these three modes of nature, he must serve Vishnu. the Vishnu service is Sattvagunam. So through Sattvagunam, one can come out of it. This is the verdict in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam says this very clearly in the first canto itself. Sattvam rajastama iti prakriteer gunam steyam stityadayo hari virinja haredi samya shreyamsi tatragalu sattvadanor nrnamsyum. Shreyamsi tatragalu sattvadanor nrnamsyum. Sattvagunam is important factor there. So the importance of Sattvagunam is stressed in the Bhagavatam. It is stressed in the Bhagavad Gita also very often. So here you will see there now that in this verse, next verse, when Krishna is going to talk about this, that he says here, idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agadaha sarge vinoga jayande pralayena vyathanti chaha. Before talking about the three modes of material nature, Krishna says here that one who is known, going to know about this knowledge of these three modes of material nature, then he will acquire my qualities. That's what Krishna says. He'll acquire my qualities. So, Sridharacharya Swamiji, who wrote this famous commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he, in his prayers in Shruti Gita, he says to Krishna like this, Mrityandita vikshanangnada kalasvabhava adibhi Bhavan sattvarayastamo gunamayan unmilayandi bahun Mama kramya badasharasadivaram sammardayandhyaduram maya te sharanam gadosmanihare tvamevadam varayam. He says to Krishna, actually Narasimhamurti, Sridharacharya Swamiji was praying to Narasimhamurti. To Narasimhamurti, he was praying like this. Nrityandi tava vichananganagada kala svabhavadayam. That in Krishna's eyesight, Mayadevi is playing there. Krishna is watching and Mayadevi is playing her role. Maya is playing her role in this creation, isn't it? We do not understand because we don't know what Maya means. So we accept everything as truth. But actually, those great souls, those who are understood Srimad Bhagavatam and Adi Vedic literature, they know that it is Maya who is playing this role in this world. Nrityandi tava vikshanaanganagada kala swabhava adibi. Kalam. Kalam means time. Subhava means material nature. So kalam and subhavam, along with Maya, is playing its role in front of Krishna, is playing in this world. Kala subhava adibi bhavan. And how does Maya play her role? Bhavan sattvarajastamo mayagunan. So, sattvam, rajas and tamas, these three qualities that Sridharacharya Swamiji says is the role through which Maya plays in this world. Unmilayandi bahun, mama kramyavada shirasyadibaram. And what happens? These three agents of Maya, which are the goodness, passion and ignorance, what do? Mama kramyavada shirasyadibaram. Samardayandi aturyam maya te sharanam. That they start crushing me, he says, the three modes of nature. Because he has come to Sattvagunam, he is in pure Sattvagunam, he is able to see this. That is why he is able to say like this. Samardayandi aturyam maya te sharanam. That even Sattvagunam is causing problem for him. Isn't it? In the Sattvagunam is also causing a problem. What to talk about Rajogunam and Tamogunam? Rajogunam and Tamogunam is, as he said before, hopeless situation. Tamogunam is hopeless situation. Rajogunam, if one is fortunate enough to take note of the importance of Sattvagunam and come to Sattvagunam somehow, then he can escape from that. But otherwise, there is no possibility. So, here he says, Sattvam Mrityandita Vavikshanangnagada Kala Swabhavadibi Bhavan Satturajastamo Gunamayan Unmilayandi Bahun Mama Akramyabada Shirasadivaram. And they are dancing. Maya is dancing on my head using these three modes of nature. They are crushing me all the time. He says, Maya Akramyabada Shirasadivaram Samardayandiyaturam. It's putting so much pressure on my head. Maya Te Sharanam. If I have to escape from her control, you are the only shelter. Say, addressing Narasimhamurti, Sridharacharya Swamiji says like this, Maya desharanam gadosmanihare tvamevadam varayam. So, in the Shruti Gita, he prayed to Krishna into Narasimhamurti in this way, in order to escape from the three modes of nature. So, you can see that to free oneself from the three modes of nature, which are nothing but the agents of Maya, we require that Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, it is difficult to come out of that. So, let's see what Krishna says about that.
Idam jnana upashritya mama sadharmyam agadah visarge vino vajayande pralaye navithandyajah.
Once who have understood this, which means the way the modes of nature works, and when one is able to overcome that, then Krishna says that he will not be affected by any of the changes in this creation. Nothing will affect him. And ignorance, as Krishna says, is the cause of the material existence. Material existence, we have seen before what material existence means. Material existence is the cause of this miseries of the material world. So this miseries will go away, Krishna says, when when one has come to proper understanding of these things. With the power of knowledge, ignorance will go away. And when with the strengthening of the knowledge, when one is properly situated, complete ignorance goes away, and then he becomes properly situated and fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Then, and material existence will not affect him anymore. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, idam jnana upashritya. Idam jnana upashritya, Krishna says. Keeping this knowledge. This knowledge means the knowledge what Krishna has discussed so far in Bhagavad Gita. Idam jnana upashritya mama sadharmyam agadaha. I perform my duties in that way. Earlier, in the Bhagavad Gita's invocation prayers, you will see there is a verse. Krishna says there, Gita jnana upashritya trilokan palayamyaham. It is this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, keeping that as the basis, I manage all the creation. Trilokan palayamyaham. In the whole universe, affairs is conducted on the basis of the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says like that. So you can imagine the importance that's been given to Bhagavad Gita by Krishna himself. So Krishna says, Gita jnana upashritya trilokan palayamyaham. Krishna says that using the knowledge, keeping this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita as the basis, I manage the affairs of this world. Affairs of this world. So, that is exactly what Krishna is saying here. Idam jnana upashritya mama sadharmyam agadaha. When one who accepts and understands this knowledge, he will come to me and understand, and he will be liberated, and then he will not have to experience the miseries of material life once again. That's what's important spoken here. Then, Krishna says here now about creation and devastation, pralayam, srishti and pralayam, those things are spoken. That only he has started talking about it, but he will come in detail later, much later. In different topics in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts at some point, but then he doesn't complete it there, he comes to that later again and talks in detail about it later. So similarly here also Krishna spoke about the process of creation and process of devastation. He has just started like that.
Idam jnana upashritya namasadharmyam agada sarge bino vajayande pralaye navyathandija.
Sargam and pralayam. Sargam means srishti, creation, and pralayam means devastation. So he says here, so we have to know what is srishti, what is creation means, and what is devastation means. We have to know that, isn't it? Otherwise, that will come back to that later. He says that person who has acquired this knowledge and who has released from the three modes of nature, he will not be affected by the creation or by the devastation. That is how Krishna puts it there. Sargebi navajayande pralayena navyathandija. So, in these verses, Krishna is talking a little bit more about creation before he goes into the modes of nature in detail. Once it so happened that one sannyasi, he was traveling in the Himalayas, and he was actually experiencing that freedom from the materialistic way of life. He wanted to go away from here in seclusion and spend some time in the Himalayan mountains. So in his travels, he happened to go through various places where he once met one boy who was actually tending the cows, a young boy who was tending the cows. So the sannyasi asked him, and during the conversation, the nature of Himalayas is very much glorified in all the shastram because of the consciousness of Himalayam and the great saintly people who have enriched Himalaya's beauty by their very presence, and how they cultivated spiritual life in Himalaya
mountains in different times. Throughout history you will find the way people went to Himalayas with the idea of to break away from this material way of life and to purely practice vairagyam, renunciation and detachment, engage in cultivating spiritual knowledge. So therefore there is so many institutions who are engaged in propagating spiritual life in the Himalayan regions. For that you see, like from Hrishikesh onwards, if you go further, you will notice that. So our sannyasi was traveling in that area and he met this cowherd boy who told him that, knowing well that he has come from another part of the land, he told him that away from here there is one Babaji who lives quite few miles further. Go and see him, you will be benefited by associating with him. Like this, this cowherd boy told this sannyasi, because so many sannyasis come every day through that road, and these the people who live there, they are used to it. They are used to these things. So they naturally have conversation with the new people who coming and going. So in that process he spoke to them and told him that it will be beneficial for you to go and see another sannyasi whom we all consider very very advanced in spiritually, and he lives in such and such a place. He explained to him. So this sannyasi went to see that Babaji who lives there in the mountains. So when he went to see him there, what he saw there was, he went and spoke to him, and in, during the conversation he told him that how he had started his spiritual life. He started discussing, this sannyasi who is the guest, he started talking about his spiritual life to him, that how he was able to, qualifications he has seen in his spiritual master, and what his spiritual master has taught him in realizing the self. These were the topics of discussions. Generally that is what is supposed to be discussed, not all the mundane topics, how much the petrol prices have gone up, or this is not what they discuss. That those things are finished here. So sannyasis are supposed to discuss topics which are related to realizing the self, isn't it? The process of realizing oneself, what is my position, and then how, what are the problems that's coming. So therefore there is so many literature to be discussed, and continuously discussing this literature, this knowledge will start slowly building up inside, and eventually one will come to understand that material knowledge is all false. This understanding will come by continuously studying Vedic literature. That is the benefit. If you don't study anything, constantly engage in action all the time, what is the possibility of knowing anything? The only the actions will stay at the end, isn't it? So that is why Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam will separately tell us about knowledge and action, and how important it is to have knowledge and to not to act in a way madly without properly understanding things. This is important. So normally sannyasis have reached that stage of life. As far as the material life is concerned, they have written it off once for all. So they have come to a stage now, they have to take the maximize the benefit from all the Vedic literature. Upanishads, Puranas, and Ramayana, Mahabharata, so much to know. And it's endless, it is. And in different situations, what happened? All this will enlighten a soul which is trying to go back home back to Krishna. Otherwise, what is the word? What is enlightenment? This is why jnanam is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. The importance of jnanam is spoken here for this reason only. And so this sannyasi said to him about his discussions with his spiritual master. So this Babaji who was sitting there, he said to him that I also know someone like that who was very perfectly situated. Not only that, he has studied everything. All that what he has studied, he has practiced it and he has translated into his own life. When you meet such people, when you see people who have translated into their own life, that becomes much more interesting. Because their realizations are actual realizations. Because there is no difference between the literature and the individual then anymore. What the individual is speaking is what is written in the literature then, isn't it? Like we say Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavatam the devotee is not different. Why? Because Srimad Bhagavatam has become his consciousness. That's what it means. So our Babaji says to this sannyasi, I also knew one person like that, and he started talking about him. He lived a few miles away further high in the mountains, and he told that the nature of that person. He was such a person that people used to come and visit him. And due to his advanced consciousness, he never used to ask anything from anybody. That was his name. If anything comes by in a natural way, he will take it, what is necessary for him, and that too very little, and the remaining things he used to offer it to other pilgrims who came through that way. That way he was always a source of help to many people. So people saw in him all the transcendental qualities of a spiritual personality. Spiritual personality means one who is freed from all the lusty and greed and things like that. And then freedom from all the conditioning. That's what has impressed people. So our Babaji also, one day he said, one incident happened in that sannyasi's ashram. So this sannyasi who came now, he wanted to know what was that incident, what happened. He said, when he told about this sannyasi, about his spiritual master, this Babaji's spiritual master, when he was talking about this sannyasi who had come, he said, I have also heard about him, but I didn't have the opportunity to see him, he said. So he said, I'll tell you what happened, he said. Once it so happened that sannyasi had prepared some food in his hut where he was living in the mountains. And he was living there, and the food was ready there, and he was kept in a copper pot. And he went out somewhere for some call of nature or something. He went out to bathe in the river or something like that. At that time, one thief came there. One thief entered into his hut. And you can see when you go to these Himalaya mountains, many places you will find people living in a very, very, very extremely poor conditions. Voluntarily they have accepted that. That is their happiness, because they wanted to minimize their, in order to cultivate that strong detachment from the material world. They have accepted this austerities and penances voluntarily, and they are practicing it. So sometimes you also find there some people who have come there in a disguise to acquire wealth also. That also you will find in the middle of all these things. So this person went in when he was not there and tried to steal that copper pot. He thought, at least there is something valuable I can get out of this hut. So he decided to take that copper pot, put the lid out and took the pot and ran away from there. Meanwhile, this sannyasi came back. When he came back, he saw the thief running away from there with the copper pot, leaving the lid there. So he ran after him. The sannyasi ran after him. But while leaving, what he did was, he took some food with him, some chapatis and some sabji, everything with him, and ran after him. Went up to him and caught him and told him that this is also yours, he said. You should not go just with the pot alone. Take this sabji and chapatis also. That was the heart of that person. And then our Babaji turns to our sannyasi and says to him, I was that thief, he says. I was that thief. And that is what that change has happened to me by that association. So you can see that association with personalities like that will bring that change. Immediately it will happen. He said, the effect was so powerful that I could not do it anymore. Rather, on the other hand, I became, accepted his authority or his way of life, and it inspired me to follow that route from then on. Because often the lower modes of nature, if we mix with people with the lower modes of nature, although they may be in the clothes of a renounced order of life or whatever it is, it's not necessary that you will experience that renunciation unless that person also has the same renunciation. When there is no renunciation, it is very difficult to follow. So therefore, Krishna is saying here, Mama sadharmyam agadaha. Sadharmyam. In other words, that dharmam has to have its effect on a person who has taken to that process. That's what Krishna is saying here. Then, sarge vinobajayandi pralayana vyathanti chaham. Then, mama yoni mahabrahma tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhava sarva bhudanam tado bhavati bharadam. Now, in the next two verses, Krishna is talking about some important points. Mama yoni mahabrahmam tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhava sarva bhudanam tado bhavati bharadam. Now, everything that is born in this creation, Krishna says, everything that is born in this creation, mama yoni mahal brahmam, Tasmin garbam dadhamyaham. I am the seed giving father of the to the womb, and that womb is the Brahmam. Brahmam is the womb, isn't it? Mamayoni mahat Brahmam. Mamayoni mahat Brahmam. And Brahmam is the womb. And tasmin garbham dadhamyaham. I impregnate that Brahman. I impregnate that Brahman. Or Krishna is the, and Brahmam is Krishna. So the father is Krishna, mother is Krishna also. Isn't it? Father is Krishna and mother is also Krishna. Strictly speaking, Mama Yoni Mahat Brahmam Tasmin Garbham Dadhamyaham. Earlier Krishna has spoken that Brahmam is the, Brahmam is me. Brahmam is Krishna's impersonal aspect. Tasmin garbham dadhamyaham. Krishna is the father also. Then, sambhava sarvabhudanam tato bhavati bharadaha. Everything comes from Brahmam. Everything comes from Brahmam. Then, you can notice in this world also, before something is born, anything which is born here, first it has to go through this process known as pregnancy, isn't it? And generally based on the process of birth, the living entities are classified into four. Living entities are classified into four different groups. Andajam, Svedajam, Jarayajam, Udbijam. That is how four of them. In four ways, the living entities comes out in this world. Andajam means one who comes through the eggs, one who takes birth from the eggs. Like sometimes the birds and all that. They form through the eggs. They are andajam. Jarayajam means just like human beings. They give birth to the baby. So that is jarayajam. Andajam, jarayajam. Svedajam. Svedajam means that one comes from the sweat. Like the bugs, mosquitoes and so many things like that. They develop from that. Then udbhijam. Udbhijam means using the earth as the basis, they come out, like the trees and the plants. So the whole, as far as Krishna is concerned, all the living entities comes under these four categories. Andajam, Svedajam, Jarayajam and Udbhijam. Everything falls into that. So once you accept that these four categories of birth, taking birth means, through this as the basis, we take birth. That's what it means. Garbham means that. That for us to come out, we need a womb to come out. And through that womb, we appear. So therefore, we are called as the Jarayajam. So Krishna says here, Mama Yoni Mahal Brahmam Tasmin Garbham Dadhamyaham. Now, we take birth, and while we taking birth, we use as the womb as the basis, and we appear in this world. So that is called as the Adhishtanam, or the basis through which we come to this world. So every other living entity also has to do this. But this is in relationship with the living entities. All the living entities accept some basis and through which we take birth in this world. Isn't it? Through which we take some birth in this world. Now, Krishna is saying here, all these living entities, now this is in Vyashti. I have mentioned this before, what is Samashti and Vyashti means. Vyashti means on an individual level, this is how it happens. But on a bigger scale, on a gross scale, what happens? The whole thing comes from Brahmam. Whole thing also takes birth out of Brahmam. Just like we appear from this on the basis of from a living entity, from another body, from mother's body, from the mother's womb, we come out. Similarly, all the living entities and the whole creation comes from Brahmam. That is what Krishna is saying here. Mama yoni mahal brahmam tasmin garbham dadhamyaham. Then, sambhava sava bhudanam tado bhavati bharadaha. Krishna says one must understand this important point because if we know this relationship between us and Brahman, we think that our mother, so strictly we say this is our mother and mother's mother, like that if we go, the first mother is Brahman. Brahman is the first mother, the greatest mother is Brahman. Similarly from the father's side also if you look, the greatest father is Krishna. So Krishna is pointing out to us that Mama Yoni Mahal Brahmam Tasmin Garbham Dadhamyaham Sambhava Sarva Bhudanam Tado Bhavadi Bharada. that as soon as the living entity understand this connection between me, Brahman, and him, or the living entity, then he will get out of this misunderstanding what he has got today. Because all other relationships, and we connect ourselves with our family, my mother, somebody else's mother, this way we see. But there is another relationship above all these things, through Brahman. That is what Krishna is explaining here. Mama yoni mahal Brahmam, which is Krishna's womb, he says. In that womb, Krishna impregnates and all the living entities have come from there. So that is the main womb, and these are all the auxiliary wombs for which we have come out. So all the auxiliary wombs or the yonis, they have a relationship with the main womb, which is the Brahmam. Krishna is pointing out that. This is what in the Bhagavad Gita earlier Krishna said, Svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayal. If you understand this, where is the question of any disagreement with another living entity, not only with another, only human beings. Krishna talks about all the living entities. Any living entity, that's all come from Brahmam. One way or the other, it has come from Brahmam. Brahmam is the source of all these things. Krishna is explaining there, that Mama Yoni Mahal Brahmam, that Mahal Brahmam is the origin from there. Tasmin Garbham Dadamyaham. And I have impregnated them, that Mahal Brahmam. Result of that is Sambhava Sarvabhudanam. All the living entities comes from there. Tado Bhavadi Bharata. So Krishna wants Arjuna to understand this relationship with other living entities through one common mother. There is one common mother and common father for all of us. Isn't it? All living entities, no matter, not only for human society or for devotees or for the demons, all, everybody, there is only one father and one mother. That's what Krishna is saying here. Now, when one is educated, understood this connection, Krishna says this relationship, svalpamapyasya dharmasya, even if a little bit is understood, then he will not act in the wrong way. In the trayade mahato bhayal, the greatest fear will also go away from him. Only when we are seeing everything is different, he is different, he is different, she is not nothing to do with me, I have nothing to do with him. When we develop this consciousness, automatically we will not understand Krishna. Because Krishna is saying here, I am the seed-giving father, I am the father of all the living entities. When he says that, he means something. Why does he say like that? It's not that Krishna says, I am the father of everybody, he says. And he says, oh yeah, okay, you are the father, fine, but I have got my own father, that's our attitude, isn't it? We don't understand that, what is this relationship between me and Krishna? Relationship is like this, my father, your father, his father, her father, everybody, all fathers are also his children. They've all come from his, from Krishna at the end. And that connection, Krishna reminds us to remember at this point in time. Because that when the child comes out from the womb of the mother, when the child comes out from the womb of the mother, that the child takes time, isn't it, to come out from the womb. By then it develops a certain tendencies within the womb also, and it comes out. And that when that process in the similar way, in this Brahmandam, Brahmandam means the universe. In the universe also a birth is happening. The universes are also born in the same way like we are born. In a small level, we take birth like this. Similarly, on a much larger scale, universes also takes birth, Krishna says. Universe is also taking birth. So, our role in this whole creation is very tiny. Very, very tiny role what we have. But the process is the same. Whether it happens in a smaller level or in a much bigger level, it is the same process, Krishna says. That the whole creation rests in Brahman and it comes out through the womb of Brahman. And that is what this universes are, is coming out from that way. So this baby, called this creation, material creation, it comes out from the mother called Brahman. Mother called Brahman. Mother Brahman delivers this baby called the creation. And the father Krishna is the entering into that. So, one of the differences between the birth of creation or the birth of the universe and birth of us is that we take birth, one child comes out, one womb, once, one or two or sometimes more, but unlimited number of living entities takes birth from Brahman. Unlimited number of living entities takes birth from Brahman. And that too with multiple bodies, different kinds of bodies. That's the difference between our birth And in the human body, a human normally, a mother, a woman will normally deliver a human baby, isn't it? But when it comes to Brahman, it can deliver all kinds of babies, not only human bodies, all the 8.4 different species of life can all come out from Brahman. That is the difference between the Brahman and us. And when Krishna says here, if you remember this, that the birth of a living entity, is connected to a process. The process is this, he has to accept living entity, which is part and parcel of Krishna, accepts a particular body to come to this world, isn't it? As a mother. A particular body, it accepts and it comes through that womb. So that means that womb is the, what is called as the adhishthanam, or the basis. So similarly, the whole universes, when they want to come into existence, they uses the Brahman as the adhishthanam or the basis through which they appear, the universes. And we all also a part of that creation.
Sarvayonishu kaundeya murtaya sambhavandiya tasam brahma mahadyoni aham bija pradapidaha.
Krishna says, Sarva yonishu kaundeya, murtaya sambhavandiya, tasam brahma mahadiyoni aham bija pradapidaha. That from one womb, only one kind of babies comes out. But Brahman has a different nature. It is the samashti of everything, all the living entities, and therefore all kinds of millions and trillions of living entities comes from Brahman's womb. And that includes human beings, demigods, demons, and birds, animals, and everything, worms, all of them comes from that. And that is the difference between the Brahman and between the us, the ordinary living entity. So Krishna is saying here that in order to point out, when Krishna spoke to us before that he is the seed-giving father, this is the point he was making. Sarva yonishu kaundeya murtaya sambhavandiya tasam brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradapidaha. That the seed-giving father, through Brahman he impregnates and all the living entities takes birth in different universes according to their karma. So that rule is established by Krishna in this way. So we have a relationship with Krishna by birth itself we have a relationship with Krishna or acceptance of body. Then now onwards Krishna talks about the three modes of material nature. It is now that Krishna starts the three modes of nature. So what does he say first?
Sattvam rajastamaidi guna prakriti sambhavaha nibadhnanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam.
Sattvam rajasa tama idi guna prakriti sambhavaha. Sattvam rajas and tamas, goodness, passion and ignorance, Krishna says guna prakriti sambhava, they come from prakriti, the modes of three modes of material nature, they come from the material nature called prakriti. So from prakriti they were born, and nibadhnandi mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam, and they are the first bondage of the living entity. Now here a question will come, what does bondage means, isn't it? Bondage and liberation, these are two things we have to get a little bit more clearer in our mind. What is bondage, what is liberation means? We all think that I am at the moment in bondage. And one day I will be liberated from this bondage. That's why we have come taken to spiritual life. This is how we have understood, isn't it? So, normally, when we see, in our mind, we develop a perception of bondage and liberation. In our own mind, we think like that. At the same time, if you have understood the 13th chapter properly, you would have noticed one important point Krishna mentions there, that the thing called bondage does not affect the soul. He said like that, didn't he? The thing called bondage does not affect the soul. Prakriti does everything. Soul is transcendental. Soul cannot be In the second chapter also we have seen before, what did Krishna say? Krishna says the soul cannot be cut, the soul cannot be burned, the soul cannot be affected by anything because he is Krishna's part and parcel. So there is no question of the soul getting affected by any of these things. But here we are saying that we are in bondage. So what is that bondage? Where is that bondage? This question will come. Naturally, this question, what is this bondage means? And what does liberation means? Both these questions will come. Automatically this will come into our mind. What does bondage means? What is binding us? Strictly speaking, there is no such thing as bondage. There is no such thing as bondage. Where did this bondage come then? Bondage, what it means is that what actually is causing this present state of existence in this way is due to ignorance. Is due to ignorance. When there is no spiritual realization and spiritual knowledge, due to our ignorance, we have accepted something which actually is not. That is our bondage here. Isn't it? That we have accepted something, but actually we are not. The soul is not thinking I am this body. It is my mind that is telling me that I am this body. Isn't it? The mind is the whole factor which is making this, give us this impression as though we are in bondage. But strictly speaking, the mind is the only cause that is causing this understanding in us that I am in bondage. Otherwise there is no bondage. There is no bondage. Krishna will talk about this in detail later. Krishna says, Bendam muktaidi khyadom gunasyamena vastuda gunasya maya moolatvam name moksho na bandhanam. There is no such thing called moksham, liberation. There is no such thing called bondage, bandhanam either. Gunasya maya moolatvam. What it is that three modes of material nature we have fallen into. And in that three modes of nature, we are beating our head here and there, not knowing what to do. And we are thinking that freedom means that we have leave this world and we go and land somewhere else where we are liberated. That understand, but actually it is not like that. What it is Krishna is saying here is that gunasya maya mulatvam, maya has made us think as though we are in bondage. Strictly speaking, soul is not in the bondage. But gunasya maya mulatvam name moksho na bandhanam. There is no thing called liberation, there is no thing called bandhanam either. There is no thing called bondage. What is required is that discrimination is necessary to manifest in us. In other words, when the mind is absorbed in the, when the mind is absorbed in the body, after so many, going through so many different species of life and so many lifetimes, this mind that has followed us through all these different lifetimes has established us firmly as though we are the body. And that is where the troubles have started. So it is that ignorance what has come. This is why in Shastram it is called as avidya. Why it's called avidya? It's a little different than the ignorance what we talk about in the material sense. The material life, for example, say if I say to somebody that I do not understand, I do not know German or I do not know French. If I say like that, it means that I am ignorant. I don't know German, I don't know French. I'm ignorant, my ignorance of German, my ignorance of French, you can call it like that. But in Shastram it is a little different. Here, we actually do not know what it is, but we also know we are something different. That way we have identified with the body. We are not only that, we do not know that we are the spirit soul, but we also have accepted that we are this body. So it's a little different kind of avidya than what it is in the, strictly speaking, in the sense of material life. In the material language, a material transaction, we don't call it as properly as avidya. Avidya is like this, that we have left our proper identity, we accepted something else as our body as the identity, and we are acting from that level. So that is where the ignorance has started. So Krishna says here, Sattvam Rajasthamaiti, three modes of guna prakriti sambhava, nibadhanti mahabaho, dehe dekhinam avyayam. So this falsity we have to know first of all. That discrimination has to come to us. That this consciousness, what is in our mind, binds the soul with the body. It's a mind which does that job. The mind is a thing that binds us with the body. We discussed this last Sunday also. How strong this bondage is. And it manifests in our activities also. As I mentioned before, that some religious groups in this world, because of their excessive attachment to the body, even after death, they won't leave the body to itself. What they do is, some of them decorate the body, some of them make some wonderful arrangements for the body for transportation, some of them arranges, put garlands and first class clothes on the body. And not only that, they also, even some of them, some communities I've seen, they even provide the food for the body to take on the way from the place where the death happened to the crematorium. And they even send the food with the body so that he does not starve. Where did all these thoughts come from? It came from this. Continuous absorption in the body, so many lifetimes, has gone so deeply into us, it is impossible for us to now to accept that we are not this body. That is called in Shastram as Adhyasam. Adhyasam means this deep-rooted identification with this body. And therefore, Krishna is saying here, Sattvam rajastamaiti guna prakriti sambhavaha nibhadranti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. That is where the first bondage is started. There are so many other bondages to come later. This is the first bondage, Krishna says. He is pointing out the number one, where the whole thing begins. The whole thing begins from this point. That, what is that? Dehe dehinam avyayam. That is why in the 13th chapter, Krishna tried to separate it out so clearly to tell us what material nature does, what the super soul does, what the living entity does, what the field does. All these things he was constantly breaking up to make us aware that these are two different things and this is not affected by this. Prakriti cannot affect the Purusha, nor the Kshetrajna can be affected by the Kshetram. It is only due to this Adhyasam, for the deep-rooted identification with the body, that we have become like this. And that discrimination is the first thing Krishna says one has to cultivate strongly in one's mind. That differentiation between the body and the soul. So, straight away Krishna says that once you have understood this, then does not take very long time. And he has started this in the third chapter itself. If you remember, in the third chapter, Krishna said, Nahi kaschid kshanamabhi jati dushtatya karmakral. Krishna says there, isn't it? In the fifth verse, I think. In the third chapter, if you look, you will see the fifth verse. What does Krishna say? Nahi kaschil kshanamabhi, fifth verse in the third chapter. Nahi kaschil kshanamabhi jadu dushtatya karmakral karyade avashak karmam sarva prakritir gunaihi. So there Krishna spoke about prakriti. Prakriti is doing all these things through us, through the using us as the tools. But we do not recognize this. Prakriti is doing everything. But as long as one is in identification with the body, he still has to live in this world. He feels like that. And therefore, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, when one is under the control of the three modes of material nature, he has no way of escaping from that. He has no way of escaping from that. That is why he said here, Nahi kaschil kshanamabhi jadu dushtatya karmakral karyade avashak karmam sarva prakritir gunaihi. That words, karyade avashak karmam. Even if he wants to escape from karmam, he can't escape from that. That is how it is created. Karyade avashak karmam sarva prakritir gunaihi. Prakriti is so powerfully acting, so powerful is this prakriti in him, that he will find it very difficult to free oneself. But when one has come to proper knowledge of things, that is why jnanam is spoken about it. Krishna has spoken so strongly about it. Jnanam, jnanam uttamam. When the knowledge has built up inside, Krishna says automatically he will discriminate things. That I am not the doer, material nature is the doer. That thoughts will come very strongly in a person. That is the important thing what Krishna is pointing out. So the first bondage for the conditioned soul is these three modes of material nature. That is where the whole thing begins. And that with three modes of material nature starts expanding in us after that. And that expansion of the three modes of nature is what is going to be discussed in the many verses from now on. how the three modes of material nature expands in a person. Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, three modes of material nature. They enter into the body in all levels, senses, intelligence, mind, gross body, everywhere. And then it starts expanding. And that expansion happens in what? In the way he walks, in the way he eats, in the way he speaks, all his other activities. Everything is affected. Very, very simple examples you can see. Take for example sleeping. A man in the goodness, how he sleeps. Man in goodness, passion, how he sleeps. A man in the ignorance, how he sleeps. It is discussed. A man, how he wakes up from sleep in the mode of goodness. How he wakes up in passion. How he wakes up in ignorance. It's discussed. How he puts the shirt on. A man in goodness, in passion, ignorance. It's discussed. How he walks is discussed. Everything, everything in the creation is nothing but three modes of material nature. That is the first bondage of the conditioned soul. Conditioned soul bondage begins from there. Just to give you an example, you'll notice some people, they'll get up from the bed, chuck, 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 everything will be finished. They just go to the bathroom and they don't have much time. Before they know, the toothpaste is on the brush, and 2-3 times they do this and get out from there. Because so much busy they are, they didn't have enough time, they had to get back to work or go to office, they don't have to. So everything in a rush. That is that mode of passion in that person. In the mode of goodness, a person will be more settled in his way of doing things. They give through examples, these through three different animals. They are given as the examples of these three modes of nature. Cow is considered to be in the mode of goodness. You can see the way cows eat, and the way the cows move, and the way the cows do things. This is more in the mode of goodness. The horses are in the modes of passion, and the buffalo is in the mode of ignorance. So all these three animals, all four-legged animals, domesticated animals, their nature, if you study, you will see a difference in their behavior also, isn't it? The cow, you will notice, often is more controlled in its dealing, isn't it? Generally, they are not aggressive. They are not so aggressive. They are always tolerant to others, tolerant with others. And that mood of goodness is always you can recognize in the cow. Look at the horses. And even when they walk through the streets, through the roads, you'll notice. Horses are always in the middle of the road. Isn't it? Whereas the cows, they'll always keep to the left. And the buffalo, who is the ignorance one, you'll be always going this side, that side, both sides, everywhere. So even among the animals, these three modes of nature manifest. The three modes of nature manifest. And you'll notice how the modes of nature, when it enters into your body, in mind how it works, in intelligence how it works, and in the senses how it works, in all levels it will have its effect on a person. It will have its effect on a person. His eating habits, the type of food he eats, the place where he chooses to live, or his priorities in life. All these things are modes of nature that decides. He is thinking he is making the decision, but actually his modes of nature is making the decision. Because according to the modes of nature, he has also made up certain calculations on that basis. This is what's good for me. And he makes that decision. But it's the modes of nature what's actually dictating that. That's why Krishna is saying here, Sattvam rajastama iti guna prakriti sambhavaha nibadhanandi mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. That what creates, he says here, these three modes of nature, what it does is it creates the material body itself in according to the presence of the modes of nature. And not only that, it also makes the living entity to feel a certain degree of pride in that body. Abhimanam, it also comes from that, due to the rajogunam in there. And all the activities of the body, it makes us think that it is the activities of the soul. It also thinks like that. Sharira dharmam, that it is called all the activities of the body, it identifies, it takes it as the activities of the soul. So, although the soul by nature, the nature of the soul, eternal, blissful and knowledge, isn't it? Sat, Chit and Anandam. Satchidanandam is the knowledge, nature of the soul. And that nature, soul has completely lost
due to association with the three modes of material nature. So what the soul is experiencing due to association with the modes of nature is it immediately forgets its original nature, which is eternal, blissful and knowledge. When we study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, first Bhagavad Gita is telling us that we are Sachidanandam, Sat Chit and Anandam, and we have no experience of any of these three, isn't it? None of us are experiencing what Sat. Sat means eternal. Where is the experience of eternality in us? We are frightened, when is the death coming? That's what we are waiting for. Then, next thing in this stage is blissful. Never once experienced what bliss means in whole lifetime. And here is the definition of soul given in the Shastram as eternal, blissful and full of knowledge, it says. What that we don't have to say about our knowledge level. So, neither of the three things, when you start taking and analyzing, we don't find it in us. So obviously there things have gone wrong. You can see there how difficult it is, what Krishna is saying, that how difficult that knowledge to manifest in us. Now you can see the problem. Sattvam rajastama idi guna prakriti sambhavan. Prakriti has thrown these three gunas ropes so tightly on us that we can't even identify our true nature, what we are. That is how strongly we are away from the truth. How far away we are from our original identity. Just see how difficult it is. That Shastram is telling us, and then we read it also happily, and we preach to others also, you are eternal, blissful and knowledge and all that. But when it comes to practice, nothing is there. No, but nothing is coming. Nowhere anything happening to us. Why is it like that? Because of the three modes of material nature. They bind us so strongly. So Krishna says here, in this verse, the first bondage is this three modes of nature. And everything that comes from that, their expansions, is what binds us further into it. So let's look at that.
Sattvam rajastamaidi guna prakriti sambhavan nibadhanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam.
Once we understand these three modes of nature, once we understand the three modes of nature, then you are liberated. That's all it means, liberation means. Liberation is not something that is kept somewhere else for us to go and pick it up from there. It is here that has to happen. The world also we have created in us, isn't it? At the moment, the spirit soul, which is in the conditioned state, is experiencing so many things. And we have taken that someday, one day, we will be liberated and we will be going somewhere else. Up to that time, I have to live like this, as I am today. That is our perception at the moment. But Shastras are saying it is not like that. Gunasya maya mulatvam. Once maya, which is in the three modes of material nature, is controlling us. If you come out of maya, name moksho na bandhanam. There is neither liberation nor bondage either. Then you are situated in your pure spiritual consciousness, spiritual identity, as the spirit soul. At that time, one experiences what we call as the Sachidanandam, eternity, blissful and knowledge. All these experiences will happen at that time. So, the moment the conditioned soul is able to free itself from the influences of the three modes of material nature, he is liberated. Then he is in his true nature. He is not anymore affected by, he has no such thing called as the mind either. Even the mind is nothing but a product of these modes of nature. Mind is also nothing but a product of the material nature, the three modes of material nature. And as long as these modes of nature are working, the mind will be there. And once it is liberated condition, then the original nature of the soul, which is the eternal blissful knowledge nature of the soul, will manifest in a person. Then, now Krishna is going to separate the three modes of nature and individually analyze what each of these modes means.
Tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashagamanamayam sukha sankhena badhnadi jnana sankhena chanakaha.
Tatra sattvam nirmalatval. Sattvam, the problem with sattvam, sattvagunam. Tatra sattvam nirmalatval. Nirmalatvam is the problem with sattvagunam. Nirmalatvam means the purity. Tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashaka manamayam. Because it is pure, sattvam is a pure thing.
Therefore, it is Prakashakam and Anamayam. That Prakashakam means it illuminates a person. Just like as soon as one comes to Satugunam, to the mood of goodness, immediately he becomes illuminated with knowledge. Knowledge takes over at that time. And what else? Sukha Sankhena Bhadradi Jnana Sankhena Cha Anakha. Then Krishna is addressing Arjuna as Anakha. Anakha means one who is free from sinful life. One who is free from sinful, one who has no sinful sinful reactions. In other words, free from sinful activities. In other words, when one is free from sinful activities, what will happen is Sukha Sankhena Bhadradi Jnana Sankhena Cha Anakha. Arjuna, Krishna says, Sukham, or he will start feeling happy in this world. That is the beauty of this Satugunam. Satugunam actually makes two things. Jnana Sangena and Sukha Sangena. Two ways. Jnana Sangena means through knowledge it will illuminate a person. He will make him realize what he is actually. That is the first import or what is the influence of the Satugunam. That Jnana Sangena, that knowledge will come to him. That yes, there is something in wrong in my understanding. His faith in the Shastram will become very strong. That is the beauty of Satugunam. The faith in the Shastram will be very strong. He will not be doubting the Shastram anymore. Because Shastram has affected him strongly. So there is no question of doubting the Shastram anymore. He is able to accept Shastram without any reservation. All the Shastram, he says, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam particularly, he will be able to accept it without any reservation when he is in Satugunam. That is the benefit of the Satugunam. Otherwise, in Rajogunam and Tamogunam, you will analyze Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita from the lower modes and you will not be able to accept it. It's very hard. So many doubts, so many questions, and so many faults you will find in the Shastram. And that is not the fault of the Shastram, it's the fault of our modes where we are situated. That's where it's coming from. Because you can see, all the personalities who have gone beyond the modes of nature, they are called Acharyas. Acharyas are those personalities. They've already gone beyond the modes. In other words, they are liberated souls. But still, they live in this world and propagate this knowledge for the benefit of those who are still caught up in this entanglement. That's a service they do for Krishna's sake. To please Krishna, they serve Krishna in that way, by propagating this knowledge. But actually, strictly speaking, they are not affected anymore by the three modes of material nature. They are already liberated. While being here itself, they are liberated. But because of their compassion for the other living entities, and also as a service to Krishna, they still continue to propagate this knowledge through their very life and through their teachings. So, here Krishna is saying that Tatra Sattvam Nirmalatval Prakashakam Anamayam. And what are the two ways it binds us? Jnana Sanghena and Sukha Sanghena. Jnana Sanghena means through knowledge. Knowledge is sometimes very illuminating. When proper knowledge comes in, then one is able to see things properly. Otherwise, lot of false conclusions we come to, isn't it? Lot of false conclusions we come to. And that is where the important thing to remember here is, Jnana Sangena means that not only accepting Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam from the point of view of knowledge, apart from that, even willing to live a life on that basis. That is also there. Jnana Sankhena. That Jnanam is not something theoretically you understand. So many professors also understand. They read Bhagavad Gita and they also understand. But why they are not able to totally agree with it? Because they are in the lower modes of nature. Whereas in Sattugunam, you will be able to accept it and live accordingly. What has been spoken in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavad, because that is the real impact of the knowledge on a person, that if he lives according to that injunctions of the Bhagavad Gita or injunctions of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is Jnana Sangam. Jnana Sangam, but that is a bondage, Krishna says here. Jnana Sangena Chanaka. Jnana Sangena. That is one bondage. And what is other bondage? Sukha Sangena. Sukha Sangena means Sukha Sankhena means that due to the influence of Sattugunam,
Due to the influence of Sattugunam, what happens in a person? This Sattugunam can become a problem in going back to, in freeing ourselves, because that is also a bondage. Sattugunam is also a bondage. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, a few personalities are shown to tell us how Sattugunam binds us. The foremost personality in this is Bharata Maharaj. If you remember, in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see the story of Bharata Muni, the sage Bharata. Bharata was a great king personality, gave up everything, renounced everything, went to the forest to practice austerities and penances. And he practiced it to such a degree, and naturally he couldn't do it unless he was in the mood of goodness. He couldn't have done that, could he? So committed, and gave up the whole empire, the whole planet he was controlling. He gave up everything, went to the forest to go back to the spiritual, preparing himself for that. All his goal was very clear. He was very clear in his head what he wanted. He wanted to go back and free once for all from this material existence. He wanted to be liberated. And that's what he was going for. And he went there, and what happened to him? He sat there in the river, and when when that deer, which was chased by the lion, delivered the baby in the water, and it started coming down in the stream, in the river, Bharata Maharaj felt compassion for that baby deer. Picked up the baby deer, and from there what happened? Got attached to it, and the result that he had to leave his body thinking about that deer. That story is in the Bhagavatam. We have talked about it many times before. So there you can see that such a high degree of goodness has resulted in this thing called good quality of compassion in him. So even there, Sattugunam has bound him there. It did not allow him to escape from that. Did not bind him to, if he had to fall from that position. That if he knew very well, his purpose of coming to the forest was not to save the deer. That's not for which he had come there. In so many forests, in so many parts of the world, so many animals get killed by so many other animals. Why Bharat Muni has to be particularly concerned about this one deer, one baby deer which was coming through? From our point of view, we will say that, oh, he has done the right thing, wouldn't we? SPCA will say the same thing. Would they not? Cruelty to animals, Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. He'll say, they will offer him with all the knighthood even for that, for what he has done. But from Bhagavatam point of view, he has done the wrong thing. Why? Even after knowing the power of Sattugunam and its control, he could not escape from that. He was a very learned person, Bharata Muni. Was a learned person. In spite of that, just see how the modes of nature has controlled him. At the right time, they caught him. He couldn't free himself from that. So, like this, there are so many instances in the Puranas to tell us that even the mode of goodness can become an obstruction in the path. But mode of goodness is helpful at least for getting the right knowledge, although it's not fully manifesting in a person. At least that far is concerned. Whereas Rajas and Tamas, no hope. It's hopeless situation. That is why the difference is. Sattvam, there is a possibility. Rajas, very little possibility. Tamas, hopeless. This is how it is. So, Pativadharino Bhuman, Tasmadagnitrayo Bhavel, Tamasasturajas Tasmal, Sattvam Yal Brahmadarshanam. Bhagavatam says like this. Parthivodharino Bhumal. Parthiva means earth. From that the wood has come. If you stay like wood, what is the use? Bhagavatam says. Tasmadagnitrayo Bhavel, it has become like fire inside. Then what will happen? Tamasastu rajas tasmal. From tamas it will come to rajogunam. And sattvam yal brahma darshanam. When it comes to sattvagunam, you will also see you will start tasting what is Brahman realization means. What Brahman realization means. So, the process is like this, that from tamogunam, one should come to rajogunam. And from rajogunam, one should come to sattvagunam. And in Sattugunam, one can study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And in Sattugunam, when one studies Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it will have its impact also in a person. But it is not easy to come to Sattugunam. That also we have to remember. We'll realize that when we read through these things.
Tatra Satvam Narmalatval Prakashagamana Amayam Sukha Sankhena Badhnadi Jnana Sankhena Chanakam.
That all these kinds of modes of nature, they considered compared to three different kinds of chains, they are all chains at the end. One is a chain with golden chain, another one is a silver chain, a third one is a iron chain, that sort. But it's a chain at the end. Whether you are chained by iron, gold or silver, you are still chained, aren't you? So, the sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, the three modes of material nature, is nothing but three chains what Krishna has put on us, what Maya has put on us. So Krishna says here that all the sattvagunam, how it binds. When one moves in this world, these are all very, very, subtle things, what happens to us. When we go out, sometimes we observe certain things, and we start immediately experiencing, this is a very nice thing. First of all, we accept that it is permanently there, the existence itself, that is sat aspect of it. To accept something is eternally existing. Even when we see a nice flower, when we walk through the garden, we accept immediately the existence of the flower and start thinking, oh, what a nice flower. So first thought has established as that it exists permanently. That's the thought, oh, this exists, the flower exists. We are not able to think very deeply that it will only for a lasting for about a few days or few hours or whatever. It loses and it falls off and it has no value after that. Nobody wants to look at it. We just want to sweep it and put it in the bin. Isn't it? The very same flower, in 2 days' time, when it dries up and falls off from the tree, it is not attractive to us anymore. But when we look at the flower, we are not thinking like that. We think, oh, it will stay like this forever. Some kind of feeling inside that it is existing, although it has no permanent existence. This is such a temporary existence. We don't think about that temporary existence. Rather, we give importance to that beautiful flower and we start thinking, oh, it is such a nice thing. It's a nice thing. Very nice flower. We start appreciating that. That's the next step. First, accept the reality that it exists forever. Illusions way. Sattvagunam binds us like this. It exists. That is the first thing. Secondly, it gives us pleasure from that. Our senses start telling us that it is beautiful and wonderful. This not only happens with flower, between man and woman also this is the same thing happening. Between women and man also is the same thing happening. And the third thing is, after that, is the last step out of these three is, you'd like to have it. Isn't it? So, sattvagunam binds a person in these three steps. They call it as asti, bhadi and priyam. That is how they are referred to in the shastram. That the subtle nature of the mind, when it is engaged in contacting with matter, how it picks up a particular object in this world and gives eternal existence to it and starts giving importance to it as a beautiful product or beautiful object or something very worthwhile to acquire, and thirdly, the desire to possess it. So in these three levels, the sattvagunam binds a person. And in that way, the conditioned soul wanders around the whole world. That's all what we are doing, isn't it? We wanders around the whole world, looks at different objects, and we start thinking about it in our mind and give importance to it. We accept them, sometimes we reject them. But many cases, when sattvagunam is very strong, that it will create these desires inside and in order to acquire that beautiful object. And with the result also similarly the objects of sense gratification also. This is also a product of sattvagunam. Like when we hear about sattvagunam's manifestation, I'm saying, when we hear about sometimes we hear there is a possibility of a good feast somewhere. It's a possibility of a good feast somewhere. Immediately the mind starts making plans. Am I invited there for the feast? Am I there for the feast? And we go for the feast. And then, one by one, when different items are served, and you look at the leaf where it is served, and you start in your mind, that experience, the pleasure that you are deriving from that, this is also from the sattvagunam's aspect. So that thing which creates inside these desires in a mind, when it sees something, and the desire to acquire that, and desire to, and the feeling that it is good for us to acquire it, all this is coming from Sattvagunam. All this is a product of Sattvagunam. So, even though a person has come to the Sattvagunam, still these desires don't go away easily from him. He is still desiring things now. But because it is giving him some happiness, sukha sangena, it says there, some sukham he is experiencing. So as long as there is some sukham, there is some happiness coming to him, he will still continue in that process. So that is why sometimes we notice in this world, some very intelligent people, they have no bad habits or anything. They don't have any bad habits. Just like they are very controlled in their eating, sleeping habits. They don't engage not a lot in sense gratification. In a sensible way they live, from the material point of view I'm saying. They live in a sensible way. But still, due to the mood of goodness in them, what happens is, whatever actions they are doing in this world, they develop certain satisfaction in that. They think, oh, this is, I've done a reasonably good job about what has been given to me. It can be anything, although that job doesn't mean anything as far as spiritual life is concerned. But still, where did that satisfaction come from? That satisfaction came from this Sattvagunam. The Sattvagunam in him is telling him that you have executed some work properly, well, either in the office or elsewhere, doesn't matter where it is. You've done something, and it was very satisfying, and from there deriving a pleasure. That's a product of Sattvagunam. A spiritually oriented person who wants to free from the three modes of nature, all the three modes are dangerous for him. None of them will help him in any way. But in the Sattvagunam, he can discriminate things and will be able to check such propensities and go beyond than that. Sattvam sattvena chaivahi, Krishna says. Sattvagunam, you have to overcome with Sattvagunam only. Tamogunam, you have to overcome with Rajogunam. Rajogunam, you have to overcome with Sattvagunam. But Sattvagunam, you have to get out of it through Sattvagunam only. Through increasing the Sattvam, you will get out of it. That is the process that we will see in the Bhagavadam when it comes to that. So here Krishna is saying there, that Sattra Sattvam Nirmalatval, because of the purity of this Sattvagunam, it is Prakashakam Anamayam, it is Prakashakam. It illuminates a person. In other words, it brings him to senses. And Sukha Sankhena Bedhnadi, Jnana Sankhena Chanaka. That is the effect of this Sattvagunam. You will notice this in different ways it can affect. Hanuman experienced this while going to Sri Lanka, when he was instructed by Ramachandra to cross over. He had experienced one or two incidents at that time. That Sattvagunam can also become an obstacle on his mission. And there is also different kinds of Sattvagunam builds up different kinds of things in our mind. Fear sometimes builds up inside. We are frightened of certain things. Why? Because in the mood of goodness also it can happen that there are possibility that one can identification with the body has not gone yet. When does we become fearless? First question comes there, isn't it? When do we become fearless? And what are we frightened about all the time? We are frightened about only one thing in this world, and that is all the other fear is come subsequent to that. That one fear is this, that I will be extinguished. I will not exist anymore. This is the first fear we have, that I will not exist anymore. Although we know very well that as spirit soul we live, we exist always, but this fear that has gone in, that I may be destroyed, I'll be finished. This fear manifests in different ways. That comes in much different forms in different times. But original fear, where it all originates from, is this fear that I may not exist, I'll be finished, I may not exist. I want to exist, but will I be finished? So this is the first step in the fear that causing us this problem, isn't it? So that fear has to go, first of all. And that is why Shastram is telling us. In fact, while talking to Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami says to him like this. He said, as long as you have identified with this body, that which is called Pashubuddhi, animalistic mind, there is no other way you are going to free yourself from this. And when Parikshit Maharaj came out of it, he realized that what was he frightened about? What was he fearing about all this? all our lives, we are only trying to do this, isn't it? To get out of this sphere. If you look at our activities in this world, we go to work to earn money. For what? To pay for the medicine, for the food, for defense, for this and everything. So all these things has come with the bodily identification. In other words, the fear of not existence, not being able to exist in this world. Isn't it? Why? Wrongly identified with the body, that problem started, as he said before. From there came the other modes of nature is binding us, and then we started our activities. So a jnani who has realized, he is not in this fearful condition anymore. He is freed from that already. Because he has already realized that he is not this body, and he has already gone beyond the three modes of material nature, the modes of nature cannot disturb him anymore. So therefore he sees this world, it comes and it goes. He is just passing through this place. He has nothing to do with it. That consciousness will come to him. And that is the symptom of a jnani. Jnani's knowledge manifests like this. We are now talking about jnana yogam. Therefore I am saying all these things. It is nothing, not the points for a devotee, but for a devotee to know that in jnana yogam what happens to a person. A jnani sees that all karma ends up in frustration. All karma brings distress and misery. All karma brings him more life after, more lifetime, more different bodies. Having realized that, he frees himself from all karma. He stays out of karma. That is jnanam. That is his jnanam. In addition to that, he sees also that this place in which he is identifying with his body is something that has been forced upon him, not due to his own desire, and that body will also leave him as the way it has come to him. Exactly like the way it has come to him, it will leave him also. In other words, his identity with the body has gone, and its identity with the spirit soul has become fully established. That is the liberated state of a jnani. So in jnani's consciousness, what we see, these three modes of nature leaves him at some point. Very highly liberated souls, that is what happens to them. It leaves them at that point. It does not influence them anymore. And with the result of that is, he knows that he has nothing to do here in this world. What is there to be done in this world? We make so many responsibilities, our own, we have created, and we suffer from that. And that is the difference between a jnani and an ajnani. Ajnani creates all the responsibilities of this world. Ajnani thinks all the world has to run according to his desire. Ajnani also thinks that if some country is not doing properly, that country has to be sorted. Ajnani thinks like that. Ajnani also thinks that it is his duty to maintain the planet. Ajnani also thinks that the whole world is running because of him. All this is coming from Ajnanam. Whereas Ajnani thinks the world is Krishna's creation. It will go on whether I am participating in that. Rather, he sees the other side of it, that association with the matter has brought to him all the distress, what it is, and rather he has learned karma, the effect of karma on a living entity, how it binds him further, how it has to accept different bodies through different lifetimes. This is a jnani's realization. So, Krishna says, Tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashagamana amayam sukasanghena badhnyadi jnana sanghena chanakam. Then, this thing called fear is, all these topics are a lot to discuss because they all have their own side effects also. Just like when you take some of these medicines, so many side effects come from that. Similarly, bandhanam means bondage, isn't it? And bhayam means fear. And brahma means misunderstanding. A lot of misunderstanding happens in our dealings. All this happens. Why? Bhayam, as I said, the fear of existence starts like this. The fear, Bhartrihari was a great personality who in Vikramaditya's time wrote several literature on various topics related to spiritual knowledge. And in him, he has classified bhayam, fear, in 9 or 10 different ways. He talks about fear. What all kinds of fear we have. Let us see each one of them. Then, Bhogo Rogabhayam, first one. When one tries to enjoy senses, there is a fear inside, will I get sick? Isn't it? When we go and sit in the feast, when sweet rice is poured in, or halwa is poured in, he shows the hand like, that's enough for me. Why? Why is that? Not because that I don't want it. I like to eat it. But I know once it goes in, what will happen. Therefore, I say, no, that's enough. So, where this is a fear inside. Bhogo rogamayam. Bhoga means sense enjoyment. But the fear of rogam behind it. That is what it is. Bhogo rogamayam. That we, as gentlemen, we say, oh, I won't take much, I'll have a little bit, we'll say. But it's not because any gentleman is someone, just out of the fear of getting sick. That's all it is. And sometimes, I remember previously, when prasadam was introduced by Srila Prabhupada in Krishna Consciousness Movement, some devotees thought, prasadam, after all it is prasadam, so it is meant for making spiritual advancement. Some buckets of gulab jamun were eaten by some devotees. And one devotee I saw, it didn't take very long, he thought that he was eating prasadam. Result was that so many gulab jamuns appeared on the body all over in a few days, all over boils everywhere, with the amount of sugar that has gone in. No doubt he was eating prasadam, but the result was this. So, you can see that the fear that I'll get sick, he has thrown it away from his mind, thinking that prasadam is I'm eating. But Krishna is not saying anywhere that you should eat buckets of prasadam. Is there anywhere mentioned like that? On the other hand, even prasadam, Krishna says, even if it is in the mood of goodness, still it has to be controlled, restricted. Bhogo rogabhayam, that fear of getting sick. Then, kule chudi bhayam, that is the next one. 9 kinds of fear, what happens to our life. Kule chudi bhayam. Chudi bhayam means that everyone is proud of their family, isn't it? They think that I'm from this family, I'm from that family. And one day, the son or daughter, they don't listen. They go and do things what they want. And then, oh, what a shame on our family, they say. Like that. Because, kule chudibayam, because he is feeling that my family traditions have been broken. It has affected my family's background. So many false ideas he has generated on himself. He has identified himself with a particular family and thinking that I belong to this family, aristocratic family or this family, that whatever it is. He is thinking that I have always a fear, will someone spoil my name? Well, somebody will spoil the name of the family. And often in the family, it comes mostly from the teenagers, young sons and daughters. They'll go and do something, and then the father, mother thinks, why did he do like this? And he upsets the parents, and afterwards it becomes a common factor. And then you can't do anything about it. It goes along with it, isn't it? So, kule chudibhayam, this another fear in the mind, what will happen when the children grow up? Will they do something which is against our interests? Will they go in the wrong direction? Always this fear inside. Kule chudibhayam. That's the second one. Then, vite nrupal. Vite nrupalal bhayam. This is, everybody knows about this. How acquiring wealth causes problem. Isn't it? Inland revenue. Behind you. Ready to catch you. Once every penny, where did you get that from? And give proper account for this. Proper account for that. So, even though you may have worked very hard, you may have accumulated a lot of wealth, the fear that the government will take it away from you in one form or the other, it's always there. We know that. Everyone who lives in the more advanced societies knows this, that how capable the government is in extracting the money from the public, from the people, in different forms. And they will not give them any opportunity to protect their wealth. So, constantly you have to be on the guard to protect the wealth from the government. Isn't it? So, in the olden days it was Nrupa, the king. Now it is the government, elected government. But as far as the activities are concerned, there is no big difference. And both of them are looking to your wealth. If he is acquiring too much wealth, there is someone watching you, always. Keeping an eye on you. Where is this coming from? And this way, that fear, how to protect the wealth, what one has earned, that is another bhayam that follows that person. And rupe jara bhayam, that when every morning when we get up and look at the mirror, what do we see? The form is changing. Our form is changing. That there was one time you were using all the creams and all the different products of the industry to keep this body beautiful looking. But after some time you realize that nothing is working. You start patching up, then like the like so many ways the vehicles are painted. Same, you start painting everywhere in the body to make it more attractive looking. But, and when you start seeing the white hair developing everywhere, then you go for something for dyeing the hair. This way, why? Rubam jara bhayam jara, old age has taken over. The fear of old age has come at that time. You are not trying to escape from that also. And then, shastre vadhi bhayam. Although you have understood and studied certain things, always the fear that somebody else may beat you in your arguments and beat you down. So that kind of fear in education also, on the knowledge what you have acquired, there is a fear also from there that you may have to surrender to somebody else who is more knowledgeable or learned from that. Gune khala bhayam. Sometimes the fear that, somebody else may propagate bad things about me. Sometimes you can see in this world also, some people, they have done certain wrong things in their life. And then later on they realized it. And they tried to correct it by acting in the proper way. And they become very saintly and present to the world, they are very saintly people. But in their past, some time before, they have committed certain grave mistakes also. Certain things they have done, which is known to somebody. So when this person becomes very saintly and present to the world that he is a very saintly person, his old enemies will pick up on that and they'll start bringing out that and start making propaganda. He was like this before, this is what he has done in the past. Gune khalabayam, that although you are trying to act properly now, still your previous or past track record is not allowing you to have a good name, because people will come and question, oh, have you done this before? They'll start catching you there. And then another becomes, so then he has to go away from there. Gune khalabayam, then kale kradanthal bhayam. After all these things, he also has to fear of the time of death. He is always fearing. That fear is always inside, very deeply inside, when the death will come. When the death will come. Especially when you get close over 50 or plus, when you get that. Even government says you should have separate magazines and separate thing. 50 plus, they make it a separate group. Because they know, in their mind, these people who are making it, they said that this 50 plus group or 60 plus, whatever that is, they are all getting closer to that. So that fear has already come to them. They withdraw from that. So then we start telling them, look, you require special apartments, separately you can live there in your separate buildings and maximize your... So many funny, interesting things they bring out from the... As though it's not preparing for death what they are doing. What actually they are doing is that fear inside that death is coming, you are meditating on that all the time. And that meditation develops into all these actions after that, what happens. So... In the conditioned state, all these are different types of fears that follows a person. And that fear, as long as these fears will always be there, that cannot go till we have come out of the three modes of nature. As long as the three modes of nature are working with us, these fears will always be there. That's what Krishna is saying here. That Rajoragalpagam Vidhi Trishna Sangasamal Bhavam Tanibadnadi Kaundeya Karma Sangena Dehinam. Now, talking about Rajogunam, Krishna says here, Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi. The difference between Sattugunam and Rajogunam is this. Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi. Ragam and Trishna. These are the two things which develops with Rajogunam. And that is the most dangerous thing. Krishna spoke about Rajogunam in a much elaborate manner in the earlier chapters. If you remember, in the second chapter. What did Krishna say about that? Rajogunam. The effect of Rajogunam, Krishna spoke about that. The effect of Rajogunam is this, that Ragam and Dvesham develops. In Sattvagunam, Ragam and Dvesham don't develop. Sattvagunam, the advantage with Sattvagunam is, he does not become excessively concerned about others in Sattvagunam. He doesn't bother. What does it matter? We say, so many people are in so many different situations in this world, that discriminative power is there in Sattvagunam. But Rajogunam does not see like that. Rajogunam see everyone else as a competitor for him. Number one. Number two, Ragalmagam, Rajogunam is Ragalmagam. Ragalmagam means, it quickly gets attached to things. The attachment to anything, any object is so strong, and if it does not acquire it, it develops into dvesham. Dvesham means attachment and anger builds up from that. Attachment and anger builds up from that. Dvesham. Ragam and dvesham it's called. So these qualities, Krishna says, when I say qualities, bad qualities, like ragam and dvesham are the product of rajogunam. While talking about rajogunam, Krishna has spoken before. What did he say? He says, then, dhyayado vishaya pumsan sangaste shubha jayate. If you remember, dhyayado vishaya pumsan. This rajogunam does this, that it engages the mind in vishayams, in sense objects. And it is so quick that it builds up attachment. Sangaste shubha jayate. With immediately. And sangal sanjayate kaman. With the sangam, attachment develops kamam or lust. It comes in the form of lust. A person in Sattvagunam would not develop in the same way like a Rajogunam. A Sattvagunam person, he will see things a little bit more finer way. Things like certain things he will be able to make a judgment. Is it worthwhile pursuing this? Or what is it going to come out of it? That means if there is some Sattvagunam in a person, you have to also remember, all the gunams are not 100% in a person. It's a mixture all the time. And these modes are constantly changing. Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas is changing. So when one is in Sattvagunam, in this chapter, the way Krishna discusses it, first he talks about individual gunas on its own. What happens? He says in each individual gunam what happens. Then he says, when it is mixed, what happens? When the gunas mixed each other, what happens in a person? He discusses that at the after the half of this chapter, he talks about that. So, originally, in Sattvagunam, you have to know this, that most of the, in pure goodness, if we are pure Sattvagunam, often he'll be able to discriminate things. Discriminate means, he would not unnecessarily build up desires for things which are not worthwhile at the end. Or in other words, which will progress him in his material life in this world. That will not be an attraction for him. That is why those people who have cultivated spiritual life to some degree, they will not be endeavoring very hard in this world for their living. They will not develop that kind of attachment to work. Whereas the nature in Rajogunam is different. Rajogunam from inside is compelling him to work hard and to acquire things very strongly. That does not come in the Sattvagunam state. So, Sattvagunam Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi, and Krishna says, that Ragam, what builds up there, Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsan, Vishayam, continuously meditating on sense objects. This becomes the very habit of a person in Rajogunam, continuously meditating on sense objects. That is the nature of a person in Rajogunam. Whereas in the person in the mood of goodness, he will know where to stop his mind, go in that direction. And from there, he will acquire a peace of mind and happiness. That is why it's been Sugha Sanghena. It is binding you with happiness. So, although you have freed yourself from Rajogunam, Sattvagunam, because of its Sukham or the happiness, it still binds you. Whereas Rajogunam, when it binds you really strong. In other words, Ragam and Dvesham builds up. Sangal Sanjayade Kaman, and he wants to acquire that, and Kamam, that desire, strong desire builds up. This is good, I want it, I must have it. BMW or Mercedes or Jaguar, whatever that is. And you will work very, very hard for that. When what happened? Sangal Sanjayade Kaman, Kamal Krodhobi Jayade. And by any reason, if it didn't happen, as he planned, if it did not happen in him, then the immediate thing what will happen is anger builds up from immediately inside. He gets angry with everybody. whoever has, whom he was expecting something from somewhere, it didn't happen. So immediately kamam turns into anger. So Krishna says here that krodhal kamam then krodhal bhavadi sammoha. When anger builds up, samoham, delusion comes. Samoha smriti vibhramaha. When the delusion comes in, then he forgets his whole identity. Smriti bhramshal buddhi nasho. With the result of that is, he cannot see anymore and discriminate anymore anything. Buddhi nashal pranashyati. With the result of that, buddhi nasham is, he falls down further down. Goes down and down and down. Where is the possibility of coming up from there? Whereas, if the person was in goodness, immediately he would have recognized that. That is, he has allowed his mind. Because on the strength of the Shastram. The Shastram will help him at that point. Shastram will influence his decision at that point. One who does not consult the Shastram, and when one who works in this world without any thoughts of anything, he is just working like an animal without any understanding. Shastram is there to guide us in the right direction, with what way we should prepare ourselves to, while acting in this world. So here, Krishna is saying here, that in this way, that Rajogunam binds a person, Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi, Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. The effect of Rajogunam is Trishna, desire, builds up very, very strong desires inside. Tannivadhnani Kaundeya Karma Sangena Dehinam. Karma Sangam. Immediately the work starts, begins with karma, pushes with karma, day and night, non-stop, year after year. Because that Rajogunam has overpowered him and influenced him so strongly. So, Sattvagunam has its own bondage. But Rajogunam also binds a person, but in a much different way, as you have seen here. That Rajoragalpagam Vidhi, Trishna Sangahamil Bhavam, Tannibadhnadikaundeya, Karma Sangena Dehinam. This Rajoguna Surubam, or this, association with Rajogunam, and the desires, that is what is actually happening the Rajogunam to grow further. And how does it bind you? Attachment to work very strongly, and the strong conviction that I am the doer. This is very strongly drilled into our mind by Rajogunam. Presence of Rajogunam in us is like that. So when we study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if we keep these things in our mind as much as we can, at least when such things affects us, we should be able to come out of it without too much getting hurt by that. Otherwise, what will happen is, if we study Bhagavad Gita like this theoretically and leave it there, and then go and do the work in the office and gets affected by everything what happens there, not realizing that the higher knowledge is in Bhagavad Gita, not in the office. Office doesn't have anything to offer as far as knowledge is concerned. Office can only offer you some amount of money in the bank at the end of the month. What else will come from the office? And all the misery associated with that. But Bhagavad Gita is telling us that while dealing with this world outside, if these principles are kept in mind, one should be able to come out of such situations. Because Krishna says, Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi, it is Rajogunam that is holding this me responsible like that. Trishna Sangha Samilbhavam. The result of that is my material desires, I am allowing the material desires to grow like this. And if it has not happened due to any reasons, that at that time one should be able to, still able to be satisfied and peaceful in this world. Otherwise, if we will be simply affected by the modes of nature. Tannibadhnadi kaundeya karma sanghe enadehinam. Karma sangam, that will be immediate result of that Rajogunam. We'll stop today. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.